All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Belchtown? Hey, how we doing? It's an FBI Friday on The Usual Suspects. Welcome on in. Barry, Nick, myself, Joel, we are here till 4 o'clock to get you ready for your weekend. With lots of stuff going on, fellas, what's the deal?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
All good in the neighborhood.
I am feisty today, boy.
Evidently, you got your morning started electronically.
I am in a good, feisty mood.
I see you're a fired up middle-aged lesbian today.
Because I have the hat. Do I still look like a lesbian in this hat?
No, it just when I turned to look at you and realized you had the hat.
I'm the Backstreet Boys, bro. You're tearing at my heart.
I'm just not used to seeing you in a hat. And I remember that Tyler had given you that moniker when you wore a hat.
He did crush my soul. Yeah, he did crush my soul by telling me I look like a middle-aged lesbian in a hat. But I don't. I feel like it was that hat. Like, I don't feel like this one makes me look the.
No, I like that.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, don't shatter my dreams, bro. We just started. Yeah. Don't shatter my fragile ego right now.
I think you're wearing it too high, though. I think you should pull the visor down a little more.
You're such a jerk. What do you want from me, okay? What do you want? What do you want? Is this better? Is that better? Fashion police?
I like that.
Okay. Yeah, golly.
You get a buzzer in there?
A what? A vibrator? Yeah. No. I don't put it there. Okay. Somewhere else. All sitting on it.
So, in the evening hours after we got off the show yesterday, yes. Major League Baseball did come out and verify that they could find no evidence of any kind of buttons or electronic devices or vibration devices in the uniforms. And Jose Altuve, through his agent, made sure that a statement was made that he has never worn such a device while playing professional baseball.
He did?
Yes.
Do you believe him?
I don't know. I really believe that he wasn't wearing anything when he hit the home run, and with the video that everybody's just completely zeroing in on and focused on.
Right.
But
I'm with you. I don't think he had on a buzzer at that moment. And in fact, I was really active on Twitter this morning. I'm not going to lie. A lot of shots were shot.
You told me this.
A lot of feelings were hurt.
Yours?
Mine and others.
Oh, yours too?
Oh, yeah.
That's hard to do. I've tried for years.
Oh, you've hurt my feelings several times. Right. I just won't let you know it.
Okay.
But one of the things that I found interesting that I tweeted about was 2019, because that was specifically when the buzzer stuff came up and people were zooming in on T-shirts and saying, oh, look, this is probably a buzzer, which, by the way, was hilarious. People started zooming in on Ty Cobb and Ted Williams and doing the same thing. Pretty hilarious that they were finding stuff like that. But I did a quick little I did some research because Trey Wingo tweeted out Jose Altuve's home and road stats, right? And he was like, well, I mean, I'm just putting this out there. Okay, Trey. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just keep it to 2017, fellas. Not you guys, but I'm saying everyone out there in sports land that's wanting to say that the Astros cheated in 2017, 2018, and 2019. We can eliminate 2019 as a year they cheated. They won 2 of 3 on the road versus the Yankees. And if you'll recall, in the World Series, they got swept and swept the Natties on the road.
Nobody won a home game in that series.
So stop saying they cheated in 2019. And by the way, the 2 of 3 that they won from the Yankees on the road was the series where Jose Altuve took Aroldis Chapman deep. So you can't sit there and tell me that because they went on the road and won 2 games in Yankee Stadium. So stop it. Well, if you want to say they cheated in 2017, I'm with you because they did. They're a bunch of cheaters.
But the people getting passionate about it was because of the fact that the home run that he hit was at home.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So he's not allowed to hit a home run now. I mean, he also hit home runs on the road. Yeah. He had a home run in Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. So stop it. They didn't cheat in 2019. Okay. And in fact, I finally sat down like you because I have no life and read the full 9-page report.
Uh-huh.
And
so you're saying I don't have a life? Because I read the damn report earlier?
I mean,
okay. All right, video games till 3 a.m. You're right. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm a grown-ass kid, all right? Mm-hmm. I'll do what I want at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I burp one every night while you're watching me, a grown-ass kid, okay?
But I read the report, nothing out of line, really, other than the fact that I felt like the only issue I had with the entire 9-page report was when he went off script, when he went out into left field, no pun intended, and started talking about Taubman and the culture.
And yeah, that was under Luno.
Of Luno. Mm-hmm. I thought that has nothing to do with video. Like you're now throwing in Taubman and the way he handled the Osuna situation with the female reporters. That shouldn't be in this report. Like that's just you piling on now.
I think the only reason why he did that was because he was trying to explain why maybe some people would think that Luno's punishment was maybe too strong.
But it's piling on. You can't, you're going to punish somebody because you don't agree with the way they ran the front office? Well, that's not cool. You might as well start punishing other teams. Because I guarantee you, Jeff Luno isn't the only terrible, if we're going to say that, terrible GM running a franchise.
I think his people skills are what really came out to me as being terrible.
You don't suspend someone because they have bad people skills.
Look, I'm just giving you the other side of it, okay? I think from the standpoint of Major League Baseball, who obviously every league is concerned about how they're perceived by the public, but more importantly by the media outlets, be it print, radio, television, etc. And when the Taubman situation came up, the fact that they were pointing out and basically trying to discredit members of the media, that didn't sit well with Major League Baseball.
Fine, and that's great. So then do a separate inquiry if you want to discipline him for that. But that should not have anything to do with cheating on the field.
I see.
It's a separate issue completely, and I just felt like that was the only thing. Thank you.
I'll allow it. I'll allow
that. That should have been excluded.
That should have been a separate press conference and everything else.
And you know what? I would have been fine with it. Yeah. I would have been completely fine if baseball would have said, listen, we have people in positions of power in our league that are acting like that, and it's unacceptable, and I'm going to investigate, and if I find any wrongdoing, they're going to face some punishment. Well, and I would be fine with that. I'd be like, okay.
It's also like because of the fact when he announced each guy individually in the report and what he was going to do for punishment, that's why when I mentioned it the other day, under Brandon Taubman, it states that he is suspended just like the other two guys. However, the caveat with him is he has to apply for reinstatement after the World Series.
And again, it's because he's piling on is what it is. So it was the only issue that I had in the report. Facts are facts. They cheated. That the fact is they cheated. The fact is that baseball didn't find any buzzers or anything like that. And people are out there speculating and saying it. And listen, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. You had John Boy said he had 5 sources. You had Bauer come out and say he had heard from several sources about buzzers. I think something happened. We just don't know what. But the fact of the matter is, baseball didn't find it. So if baseball didn't find it, it didn't happen.
I must say this, Barry. Mm-hmm. They better not find it either. Because if they do, the punishment, you thought this punishment was a little bit harsh?
Remember, I said yesterday, lifetime ban.
Yeah.
It could be a lifetime ban. And I thought, well, maybe I was overreacting. But since that time, I have seen several people say, if they stood at the plate with a buzzer on and they should be banned for a lifetime.
And for a guy that's got a legitimate shot to get in the Hall of Fame like Jose Altuve,
there's no doubt he's a Hall of Famer.
It would just be crushing.
Oh, yeah. Because he was the ultimate underdog story. I remember thinking about how likable these Astros were. Remember that?
They were
just the most likable, just great stories. And Altuve, Bregman wasn't the most likable guy in the world. But Springer was so likable and, overcoming the stuttering and helping kids with it and being upfront about it and being on camera and not shying away from it so the kids had a role model to look up to. Altuve getting turned away by the Astros, and he's 5'3" or however tall he is, I don't know. And he shows back up, and like it was so many feel good stories about this team.
Oh well, there's no doubt about
it. And now it's all tainted. Now it's all ruined.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why when you asked me at the start of this segment, do you believe that he did it with Altuve? The immediate response for me and a week ago would have been hell no, not a chance in
now?
Hell. But remember, because of the fact that when you and I started breaking this down before anybody else and started talking about the fact that guys, if the players were involved,
we picked
who
two.
Were the two catalysts,
and
we had
one.
Them dead on with Bregman and Altuve. And so now all bets are off for me. I'm like you. I loved this team. I converted when I got here because I suffered through the 100 lost seasons, and I loved everything about it. Like you said, I loved the nucleus of the team, the background stories, the way they paid their dues, the way they rebuilt their farm system, the way they came from the depths of the dead to come back and win a title. And now because of all the details of this thing and the way it keeps coming out, I can't help but in the back of my mind going, I could possibly see that happening now, and that really pisses me off.
I don't trust this team now. I really don't. And I did start to see people tweeting about, you know, the funny thing is, this is still a really good baseball team.
Really? If they got they're favored to win the West again.
Let's just talk about last year. Now, I did see somebody say, well, look at Jose Altuve's batting average last year versus every other year. It's the first time he hit under 300. Okay.
He got a real slow start.
Yeah, but still, this team as a whole, according to baseball and everybody else, they didn't cheat last year. Even in the report, it says that the players were like, felt like it started to become counterproductive. I think what happens is guys like Cora and Beltran fixated on it. But I think some of the players are like, it's not really helping me.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go
up. It's more
up.
Of a distraction because yeah. Now you're thinking in your head, which you should be thinking, what's he going to throw me and where?
Right.
Now you're thinking, I didn't hear it. Did I hear it? Was that the garbage can? Was that, I don't.
What was that? Was that the sound system? And, then you end up flailing. So I believe that too. Like, I think at some point everybody was like, you know what? This is just not worth it. It's too much. It's too distracting. I'm a good hitter. I got this far without cheating. I'm just going to go back to hitting. So when you look at 2019, that was still a World Series team. And they were literally three innings from winning another World Series 2 and 3 yeah. years. So this isn't a bad baseball. It's not like they're going to go from first to worst. The potential's there, obviously.
But in essence, they didn't need to do this.
Their division is kind of bad. So.
They're so talented. They didn't need to do this. They still would have been where they were.
That's the troubling part.
I agree with that.
But I think that they are a legit contender to win a World Series next year. And oh my God, I hope they do. Just if you think this week was fun on Twitter.
But I think that's the motivation for the whole team.
Mess around and win another World Series.
I think in that locker room.
Oh my God.
Because we haven't heard anything from anybody. In that locker room, that is the entire motivation for the entire season. Like, kiss my ass. We're going at this thing hard, hot, and heavy every single day. And days that they might be coasting, they're not going to be this year.
It's going to be the most focus you've seen an Astros team since probably 2015.
I'd agree.
You know?
Yep. All right, so we're just getting started. HRNP Listen Line, you want to jump into the conversation, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick. I promise he's here. At Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Nick, say hi.
Hello.
There it is. Nick joins us next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects, first half hour of the show. It's Barry, Joel. Without further ado, Nick Sciarra,
what
ladies
it do,
and gentlemen.
People.
Nick, how did your appearance at tight ends go last
night? Fantastic. People showed up. Suspects got t-shirts.
I saw that you were interacting. Someone said on Twitter they were grateful. The highlight of their evening was meeting you.
Shout out to Joanna.
That wasn't who it was. It was a dude.
Yeah, dude said he was really excited about touching you.
I don't know about all that.
Oh.
I do not know about all that.
But it sounded like it was fun.
It was fun, man. You know, the Blitz was there, obviously, from 4 to 7. Got to talk to some of the regulars. Had a couple of drinks. Had a couple shots.
Hmm.
And then I followed up by going to steak night with Fred Fowler.
Oh, wow.
Steak night where?
The place is called Around the Corner. That's Fred's spot.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's Justin and Joanna. I was trying to get her husband's name. Justin and Joanna were both there. They both got t-shirts. Thank you very much for showing up. Yep. They're out there in League City, and they love Walt, I think, also came.
Hey, my buddy Walt.
He's a legit supporter.
Walt is awesome.
Walt is a
good person.
Yes, he is.
Wife is way better than him, though.
I would agree with that sentiment.
She is a beautiful and sweet woman. I don't know what he did. He must have lied to her at some point.
Yeah, you think he's like blackmailing her?
Either blackmailed her, tricked her.
Or drugged her.
Or maybe he's just got, you know, she's hostage and just can't tell anybody. Next time I'm going to be like, hey, listen, if you're being held, just blink. Yeah. Like, blink three times fast.
Or pound on the garbage can.
There you go.
For in honor of this week, just go hit the garbage can twice. I'll listen for it.
Well, look, it's 1:15-ish, and we normally come back from break with our comedian of the week for FEF Friday. Hard to find some good audio for my comedian of the week, but I do want to just talk about him briefly. Dick Kendall passed away this week, and Dick Kendall was a lover of comedy. He started comedy in 1953, and he was known by just about everybody in this community and beyond. Billy Gardell and him were very good friends. Don Lurden and him were very good friends. Andy Huggins and him were very good friends. But Dick was a lifelong comedian and loved to do comedy. And I did several shows with Dick. Unfortunately, I got to do a show with him a couple months ago when Billy Gardell was in town. And that was actually the last time I saw him. But passed away. Wonderful man, wonderful comedian, and he'll be missed. So I did want to make him my comedian of the week, even though we don't have audio that we could play. So.
I saw some of his clips. He's definitely an OG in the game.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is it worth just looking on the internet and Googling. Trying to find?
Yeah. Yep. K-E-N-D-A-L-L.
Yeah.
Dick Kendall.
You'll appreciate his comedy.
Very fun.
In the meantime, in his honor, you're going to be talking about Dick all show, right?
Oh, boy.
I mean, at 1:15, you would like 2:15, 3:15?
Yeah. We'll be talking about Dick at 1:15, 2:15, and 3:15
okay,
for
there
sure.
You go. That's
Dick will
be
a
hot topic.
It's a hard topic for me to talk about because of what happened. But
let's see what you did there. All right. So RIP.
Yep. RIP
Kendall,
my buddy Dick.
Yeah, we appreciate everything you've done and did. And I don't know that Barry should have said my buddy Dick, but okay.
Listen, so, you're going to have to grow up at some point.
I don't know why I should start now. I'm already way past. No turning back.
I really don't want you to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, so. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I mean, I'm just going to keep going.
I do want you to get better at those, though.
No.
You don't have to grow up. Just, I don't know.
Okay.
Can I share with you guys a story? Now, this is a little personal.
Here's the story.
But, I just feel like I need to tell you this because I'm kind of pissed. I'm real pissed. It's probably why I was so feisty today on Twitter.
F is for feisty on an F. Yeah,
F
Friday
is for
Barry.
Feisty. F is for foolish because that's how I was acting on Twitter today. But so you guys know, and I may have mentioned it on air. I don't remember. But you guys know I am cat sitting. I'm babysitting my sister's cat while she's out on a cruise.
The six-month-old, right?
The six-month-old kitty cat.
A lot of energy, late night.
A lot of late night energy, a lot of playing, a lot of fun. Super sweet cat, though. I mean, like, very lovable and loves to cuddle, right? Like, so at night, once I finally do stop playing video games and go to bed, he's been getting in bed with us. And you know, some nights he'll lay in between Nora and myself. The last three nights, though, he's laid on my pillow.
Okay.
Like, he'll lay on the pillow, right? And he sleeps there. And I'm like, that's fine. That don't bother me. So yesterday morning at 4:30, my wife wakes up. As every morning at 4:30. Mm-hmm. And it woke me up. Because the cat woke up with her and starts meowing or whatever. So I was like, hey, his name's Marley. I'm like, Marley, get your ass up here.
It's a boy?
Yeah.
Named Marley?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says Bob Marley.
Oh.
Yeah. So Marley leaves. Nora feeds him. He leaves, does his thing, comes back and gets in bed, lays on my pillow. And he's laying there. And I'm trying to sleep. And at one point, I'm like, did this cat just fart on me? It smells so bad right now. I think this cat just farted on my head. In fact, I know this cat farted on my head.
Because I love this cat.
All I smell is fart. And it wasn't me. I know. I know when it was me. And I'm like, boy, this cat farted on me. Which I'm like, okay, that's not nice, but whatever. I'm laying there. 10 minutes go by. Did he just fart again? This cat is now just laying on my head, farting over and over. He probably farted like 5 times. And no, they were silent, Nick. They were dead silent. You didn't hear anything. You just smelt it, okay? And that's important to the story because the morning goes on. I get up about 9:00. I go in the living room. He wants to play because I've been, you know, so I play with him and we get the laser out and have fun. And then I do some show prep and I get ready for work and I'm getting ready to leave and I go to get my watch off my charger on my nightstand. And I sit down at the corner of the edge of the bed and I reach to get my watch and I noticed something on my pillow. I was like, what is it?
Please tell me he did. Please.
What is that brown stuff on my white pillowcase? That cat wasn't farting on me.
Yes! Yes!
This son of a bitch pooped on my pillow!
That's fantastic.
I was livid. Oh, what?
Your head was all up in its
if
poop?
If I get pink eye from this
stupid. Did you check the top of your dome piece to see if you had any remnants?
Do you realize that I laid there from 4:30 until 9, wallowing in cat crap? Just rolling in it. Back and forth. Rolling. Just snuggling. And you're so sweet. Cat crap all over my pillow. All over it. Not just a little, like a smooch. It looked like a piece of poop died on my pillow.
That's so amazing.
Oh, my God.
This cat needs to be honored on the show.
And you guys know me.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes, we do.
Boy, the whole bed was just gone. Threw the pillow out. I can't use that anymore.
Set the mattress on fire.
From the bedroom. Oh, my God. That was just like, and then, so I tell Nora, and she can't stop laughing at me.
How could you?
She's like, you rolled in his poop for 4 hours. I'm like, hey, I don't need you. I don't need you to remind me.
Did you check, like, everything to make sure it wasn't on your head and your ears and wherever?
That's just it, Joel. It was 11:15 when I saw it. I had already showered. So there's no telling how much cat crap I had in my hair before I showered. I'm sure, because you know what's weird?
Good thing you got a haircut this week, because otherwise it'd have been even worse.
Here's what's weird, is I kept smelling his fart all morning. I was like, boy, this cat has some really bad gas, and it's following me. Why is this following me, this all around the house? This cat is awful. He's worse than me.
It probably did have a sound. You just didn't hear it because you were so tired.
No. Well, we do have a fan on, you know, like the white noise. But it didn't sound like what you did. I would have heard that now.
You would have thought that you might feel like Play-Doh.
I hate you.
On top of your dome.
I hate you so much.
That is so funny.
You have no sensitivity on the top of your scalp or something?
How would you know? If I put a little...
You can feel it. Bro, I mean, like if Play-Doh or something hit the top of your dome.
If I put a little poop in your hair, you would never know. You would never know. In fact, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go at some point in this show, I'm going to put poop in your hair, and we'll see if you notice.
Is that a new hat?
Yeah.
Throw it away.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I washed all that.
No. That it takes at least 3 days to completely remove cat diarrhea from your head.
Okay, first
it's
of all,
a fact.
It was not Googled diarrhea. It. No, you didn't Google it.
Chances are, too, if you need to get
I
some...
Googled
if you're,
it.
If you were going to try and put some poop on my head,
shut up.
You probably have it all over the place that you can reference.
You don't want the smoke. I'm telling you, I will smear cat crap on both of y'all.
You thought it
was
smoke.
We will all three go down with the ship, okay?
You thought it was smoke. Oh, instead, my
God. I don't know why I told this story.
It was another
now.
Log without the fire.
Why on earth would I tell this story now?
Hey, if you want to reach us, it's at the producer now. Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is a litter box. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
Live racing is back at Sam Houston Race Park. Join us for 50.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the king of the poopy pillow.
See? Oh, what have I done?
Barry Laminack.
Christine was like, how many showers did you take? Well, none, because I didn't know I had cat poop in my hair for 4 hours.
So you just came
took a
straight
normal
to work?
Shower.
Yeah, so you got...
No.
That's what you just said. You said you didn't take a shower.
I said I didn't take... She said multiple. I took one shower at 10:30, and at 11 o'clock when I went to leave is when I noticed...
You used Purell
...that Marley
gel today?
Had crapped all over my pillow. Huh?
Did you gel your hair with Purell today?
I don't gel my hair. I don't have enough hair to gel.
No, but of course. But after realizing that a cat crapped on your head, you probably should.
But I went home and showered again.
Okay.
Twice in a day. And I don't normally shower twice in a day, but I certainly did.
Wow.
So boy.
Poor Marley.
You threw the pillow out and the pillowcase?
Yeah, both. Why would I save that? I'm not saving that.
How do you know that it went through the pillowcase to the pillow?
It doesn't matter. It's poop.
Oh, boy.
It's not, bro, it's not a metal pillowcase. It's cotton. It's porous fibers. You're telling me that you would still sleep on a pillow that had poop on it, on the pillowcase?
I would examine the pillow. Oh, if I didn't God, see stains disgusting. Or it smells, I would probably still use the pillow.
You're going to get pink eye.
Seems like the cat's pink eye got on top of your head.
Well, it's brown eye got on there, that's for sure.
Close enough, yeah.
Boy.
Okay, so can't wait till you get home tonight, because you know your wife's going to be laughing all weekend. Oh, you didn't throw the sheets out, did you?
Huh? Just, no, I washed the sheets because there was no poop on the sheet. It was all on my pillow.
Yeah, like
and
Lisa,
my hair, probably.
Lisa would have blatant disregard for me in this situation. Just don't. Were the sheets damaged? Did you screw those up? No. That's all Lisa would be cared about would be the sheets.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I bleached them. I threw them in the wash and bleached them.
Okay.
But I have like three pillows, so I still have two left. But I tell you one thing, Marley wasn't sleeping in the bed today, last night. Take your poopy butt somewhere else. I don't think so, pal.
Bet he was pissed.
Oh, he was. He's sitting at the door crying. I was like, yeah, fine. We'll just wallow in your own poop. You ain't coming in here. And then Nora's laughing. I was like, okay, miss, go to bed at 7:30 at night. I'm going to let him come in there. You wake up with poop in your hair and see how you like it. I'll let him, and he'll get up on your head, too. Don't worry.
That's great, because our husky sleeps on Lisa's pillow.
Uh-huh.
I would actually look forward to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If he got poop on
I
it?
I would encourage Jack to... I would say, Jackson, you can stay right there. Just don't come over on my side.
Yeah, just stay on that side poop over there. And don't you dare come over here.
We were talking about the before we get to the playoffs and football and everything else, we were talking about Mark Teixeira went out on ESPN today, did the circuit to talk about the fact that the Mets did the right thing by firing Carlos Beltran, that, you know, the scandal itself is just so devastating for baseball. Well, former Astro Carlos Gomez didn't really care for Mark Teixeira banging on a former teammate like that. And he said, for Mark Teixeira to be calling for a former teammate to be fired instead of keeping his comments to himself is definitely a sucker move.
Mm.
He quotes and says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, hashtag Saint Teixeira. I believe what he's referencing is because Mark Teixeira has been indirectly and somewhat directly rumored to have dabbled in steroids.
Oh, yeah. That was a rumor.
So, if you're going to do that, Big Tex, and again, we get back into this, like the Kendrick Perkins thing. These guys want to make a career, a second career out of broadcasting, and they think, I got stories. I got info. I know things about guys. You have to be able to differentiate between what is on the record for public consumption and what you keep to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, going back to what you were talking about in the first segment, we were talking about all this with Altuve and everything else. The thing that I really found disturbing was Teixeira came out and said that he thinks Carlos Beltran's chances for getting in the Hall of Fame were severely damaged because of this scandal. And I'm like, wait a minute. This was as a manager. This was not as a player.
No, this was as a player. This was Beltran as a player. In 2017,
that's a good point.
He was a player. And I tend to agree that anyone associated with this, just like with steroids, there's always going to be a question, right?
Yeah, that's my bad. I was getting a little ahead of myself. What I was going to say is, this is almost like Rafael Palmeiro, who everybody thought was a guy squeaky clean, never would do anything wrong, which was pretty much guaranteed to be in the Hall of Fame until they found out that he testified that he never did. He was adamant about it, and then they found out that he did.
Yeah, he got suspended.
Yeah, but he's never going to get in the Hall of Fame because of it.
A lot of players aren't going to, especially borderline players.
Yeah. I'm saying Clemens is probably never, Bonds, all these guys, big names, they're probably never going to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of a shame that after a 20-year career, which had a ton of highs and ups and big-time stats, now because of this scandal, he might have crapped away his entire chances of making the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of them could. I mean, Beltran, Altuve, Bregman, anybody else involved with this team that's a Hall of Famer or potential Hall of Famer, because it literally in the report says that pretty much every player was either directly involved or benefited at the plate. There was literally not a single mention of, well, you know, Brian McCann didn't know about it. It's literally from the top of the lineup to the bottom, everybody was involved in some way, shape, or form, along with Alex Cora. So if you're on that team in 2017 and you're a potential Hall of Famer, you're going to be scrutinized at a different level than any other player.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
I think you're probably right. And it's crazy, but it's true. And, you know, so when you look at that and the fallout and everything that's going to continue to be fallout from this, that's the one thing that from an Astros perspective, like I said, you kind of hope this is the end of it. You kind of hope that, that they never do find any
the
vibrating.
Media is not going to end this. That's too this big of a story because soon. They're going to make too much money and too many clicks for the foreseeable future. Before it loses steam. And if you're a writer, this is your job. This is what makes you money, man.
Yep.
You can't stop talking about it. It's going to ruin the sport. It's sad for baseball because baseball is such a like generational type of sport. You know, like kids are being brought to these stadiums, you know, at a very early age, and it becomes so part of their life.
Sure.
And you're just ruining it. You're just ruining a game that's been around for years.
And the question is, can they survive this? Because of the fact they've survived so much from Pete Rose and betting on baseball to the steroids epidemic and everybody talking about asterisks for that.
There's always been cheating in baseball, though. I think it survives. It's just
I think so too. It's just a bad look. People are hurt. Kids are hurt. Like it's like people. There's parents out there that are literally having like serious conversations with their kids about the whole Astros situation. Mm-hmm. We talked to AJ about.
Oh, yeah.
His discussion with his kid, like it's impacting kids.
Kids
like,
are saying, kids. "Oh man, I looked up to those guys as heroes, and I'll trust them now."
Yeah,
that's bad.
And then like to share, you hear differing stories too. Because look, I've always thought had the highest regard for AJ Hinch as a person, as a manager, everything.
Well, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
And so you and I had the conversation the other day, and we both, I think all three of us were on board. We thought he was going to get another job, and we. At least when you and I were talking about it, we thought it would be quickly, like right after this season.
Yeah, right away.
Jess Mendoza was on the same page. Teixeira seems to think all three guys are going to struggle to get a job within the next 3 to 5 years, and then maybe they'll get another look. And I didn't think it was that severe for Hinch because you read the report last night.
Yep.
I read the report the other day. The way the report even plays it out, AJ didn't know about it at first, and then even when he didn't like it when he found out about it, he just didn't stop it.
Right.
And I thought that would get him,
and much
not
like
a pass,
I thought,
but
much like I thought, you know, Luno is trying to say he didn't know, but they said that there's evidence that he didn't.
Yeah, and emails and
all so they both knew they could have done more to stop it, but they weren't involved with it. They weren't the mastermind behind it. They didn't even agree with it. But it was one of those things where boys will be boys. I don't care. Let's just go out and win games. I want to manage. I'm not worried about all that. Y'all doing whatever. I think the big thing for me from that report that I saw was when the commissioner talked about the fact that it was Jeff Luno's responsibility to let everyone on the ball club know that it was not acceptable to use video to steal signs, and he didn't do that. He didn't forward the memo on, and that's why he got popped for this. Because they said the players came forward to baseball and said, had AJ Hinch told us to stop, we would have stopped. But no one told us to stop. And that's what got both of them pinched for this. That and the fact that Manfred said all along that he was going to hold the on-field and general manager accountable for the actions of the players if this happened. Or low-level staff. And he did.
Now, here's an interesting thing, guys, because we talked about this, too. The fact that once Mike Fiers got the ball rolling and now all of this is out there, that there might be backlash by more and more stories coming out and more people feeling confident now that they can come out and tell their story. Yeah. Have you seen this story about former Cy Young Award winner Black Jack McDowell?
Uh-oh.
Black Jack McDowell came out on Friday, said Tony La Russa, Mr. Squeaky Clean Hall of Fame manager and everything, Cardinals and otherwise, had a sign-stealing system installed when he was with the White Sox in the 80s. And oh, wait, fellas, it gets better. He says, and I quote, "We had a system in the old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. The Gatorade sign out in center field had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office, and a camera zoomed in on the catcher."
You literally said that this
didn't
could
I
be a thing.
Didn't I say the other day about a scoreboard?
Yep.
And the corner of a scoreboard?
And
he
didn't
said, "I'm going to whistleblow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap." There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He's still in the game making $500,000, you know? No one is going to go after that. It's just this stuff is getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. Jeff Passan. So there you go.
And recall, And we keep bringing it up, but we keep hearing these outlandish things, is that somebody came forward and said, you're going to hear about some really crazy stuff that's gone on in baseball about cheating. And they're not disappointing. Every day is something new. And quite frankly, I know we'll get one or two texts that tell us to stop talking about it. I'm fascinated by this. I think this is – I'm loving this. This is amazing to me that baseball is imploding on itself. It's sad because I love the game, but at the same time, it's riveting to me. It is absolutely riveting to find out Tony La Russa used a sign on a light on a Gatorade sign. What? It's so much more than just standing on second trying to figure out what number the catcher picked. It's so much more than that. And it's rampant, and it's everybody. And my thing is, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, yeah, he should, you know, that's disgusting. But at the same time, my thing is these people that are on their high horse like they don't cheat, like Mark Teixeira. That's the part of the problem I have. You are all cheaters, so stop acting like you're not.
Here's the interesting thing, too, that we brought up. The whole backlash of will people try to take it out on the Astros and others. He said, you know how we used to take care of it? If they were stealing signs from second base, you had the catcher call a breaking ball, and then you threw your fastball off at the back of someone's neck and just said, oh, you're going to keep trying to pick up signs, guys? Well, what's it going to be?
Yep. That's what Clevinger said he was going to do. Said he's going to start throwing smoke at the Astros next year. By the way, Manny said he was going to come out yesterday. Two tight ends.
I did not see him.
Yeah, he said he was going to come out, but his wife was like, hell no, after I roasted her. So,
well, thanks. Well, thanks,
well,
Barry.
Well, I'm just saying, it speaks to her intelligence.
You're still on that. All right, so we're going to start to mix it up a little bit. We got two big football games to talk about this weekend as well. We got lots of things to get to, but if you're calling the show and you want to get in, we got a spot for you, so just be hang tight. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show on an F Yeah Friday.
F stands for fecal matter on my pillow.
Yep. And damn feelings, because a lot of them got hurt this week with everything that's going on in baseball.
Yep.
And now we're hearing that if that was in the 90s, how long was all of this stuff going on?
More snitching.
Yep.
Yep. It's going to keep going on.
That's what I'm going to say. And it ain't going away anytime soon. You got to believe if Blackjack McDowell is being interviewed about incidents in the early 90s, that this is just getting started.
But I think his point is, guys, everyone's cheating. Either fine and suspend everybody in baseball or shut up about it. And that's to me, when you read it, that's what it sounded like. Was like, I'm tired of this. If we're gonna do this, let's just get it all out there. But stop acting so holier than thou that the Astros are the only sinners in this league.
But that's the thing too. His other thing is they're selectively punishing.
Yeah.
And that's what he doesn't like. And that goes to the whole Jeff Passan thing, where you have the power in what you write and what you say. And whether you want to realize it or not, and I think he obviously does. But with that, you're supposed to be a journalist. And as a journalist, you're supposed to be without bias. You're supposed to just be reporting the facts.
Yep.
And the fact that he, and we've highlighted on this show, he won't do for the Yankees and certain other teams what he has done constantly for the Astros. Not just with the cheating scandal, with the Osuna deal and the domestic violence. That's not how you're supposed to be a journalist in today's day and age. This isn't shock jocking. This isn't trying to get clicks. This is, if you're covering the league for a big time network like ESPN and writing and doing all the things that you're doing, you are supposed to be without bias and you are supposed to be reporting every time these things happen.
Yeah. And he's not.
We just love to tarnish good things, good games, people's legacies. It's just, it's just
cancel
in our
culture. We are literally in the midst of cancel culture, and this is perfect because that's exactly what's happening in baseball.
Peyton Manning was squeaky clean his entire career. And then that last year, right before he wins the Super Bowl, that allegation of some girl at Tennessee comes out. Like, you wait his entire career to bring this up now when he wins his last Super Bowl so he can just go out with a bang. And you want to ruin that. Those were the questions that were at the press conference when he should have been talking about the Super Bowl and how he got a ring and he's probably about to retire. It's just the way people think. People just love to take something, ruin it, and then leave. That's what they want to do.
Speaking of ruining stuff, Walt texted the show because you said he showed up to tight ends. And he said, Nick gave us a couple large T-shirts.
I did.
So the wife was like, cool, I can wear this as a nightshirt. Imagine the buzzkill when I roll over with one thing on my mind and see your three ugly faces. Thanks a little, Nick. Well, just put tape over Joel's face and Nick's face, and then maybe she'll be in the mood.
Just leave yours?
Yeah, just and then that'll get her warmed
up for
you, Walt.
Nick didn't know he was handing out birth control. Yeah. In the form of a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. Good stuff,
Walt. That's fantastic. Okay, so we'll continue to roll. Before we get to the football and other questions, let's get David. He's been waiting. He wanted to get on this Astros thing. David, what's up?
Yes, how you doing?
What's up, David?
Talking about, like, the guy hitting the can that's in the dugout. Did they interview this guy? Who is he? Is he a player? Is he staff? The guy out in the center field, there's got to be somebody out there with the camera, I guess they're talking. Where was Major League Baseball through all this? Because it's been out there for a while. Nobody ever seen it, looked into it. The coach ripping down the monitor in the dugout once or twice. I just don't understand how Major League Baseball didn't look into this earlier, or is it really a cover-up for Major League Baseball, and they're just using this now as, you know, let's get rid of these guys. You know, I'm sure they probably went through quite a few trash cans, because those metal cans do dent, and if they're hitting it with a baseball bat, they're probably going through one a day. It's just kind of weird how they never talked about, you know, who's this guy hitting the can. I'm sure it's not Altuve or Correa. It's got to be a staff guy that's out there all the time, that's constant, you know, listening to what the next pitch is going to be.
Appreciate the call, David. Yeah, I doubt baseball was trying to get some low-level staffer. You're not gonna prove your point by getting some guy that's making $20,000 a year banging on trash cans.
How do we know there was a baseball bat used to hit the trash can? Was there a report that said that? Did I miss?
I don't know. I think he's making assumptions. And the fact that it was, you know, either metal or whatever. The point is, and to your point specifically, David, about why is baseball coming out now? Because Mike Fiers made it public. This would have never happened until someone like Mike Fiers comes out and says what he says and causes the entire baseball community and its fans to question the integrity of a World Series that year.
Causes the league to investigate it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It caused, if you read the report,
yes.
Rob Manfred specifically says that because Mike Fiers came forward and it caused people to question the integrity of our game, we had to open an investigation. So the fact is, this has never happened. This never comes to light until Mike Fiers or somebody else snitches about it.
Yeah, to answer David's question,
and you know
too.
Why? Real quick, let me just button it up. You know why? Because everybody knows that everybody's doing it. That's why no one comes forward and goes, Trevor Bauer and the spin rate and all that is one thing. Those are just accusations, and you can poo-poo that. But this is a whole different level, and now everyone has to look at it and go, damn. We kind of all did it, but maybe they'll just take the fall.
No, I mean, just to answer his question, to answer your question a little bit better, MLB may have known that about all this stuff. And we've also made the argument, or at least I know I've made the argument, that probably the MLB probably didn't want this to come out. But now that it became so public through a big publication like The Athletic, like Barry was talking about, now they have to look like they address it. So where was the MLB? They were right there. They just didn't want it to come to light. Now that it's coming to light, they're addressing it.
And to address his other question, which was, what about the guys with the cameras? What about the guys with the monitors? All that stuff. It's clearly stated in the report that the employees on the lower levels that were responsible and involved in any way, shape, or form in all of this were spoken to, and it was left at the discretion of the team to which they left it up to them. Would they discipline them, and how so? So that was also part of the report, just
yeah,
so you know.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that. Chris wants to get in here on Astros real quick, too. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to chime in and say I appreciate the last bit of conversation, because it hasn't been said enough precisely what you guys were finally saying. And like I said, it hasn't been said enough that it's just holier-than-thou media optics posturing by MLB and, unfortunately, Jim Crane as well. And that they don't do anything about it until somebody points it out. Mike Fiers, now is Jose Canseco with steroids. Yep. They don't do anything until it becomes public. And then number two, now they're not even punishing the players that were directly involved. So any steps you do take are just nothing more than posturing. But, you know, I'll suspend kind of, you know, and accept kind of that's how things work. I didn't mind the suspensions of Hinch and Luno. I don't mind the fines and the course they were taking. The part that got really frustrating for me is Crane firing Luno and Hinch and going above and beyond kind of Major League Baseball's playbook for how to handle these things. Because I don't think he gains anything from an integrity standpoint, a morality standpoint, by firing Hinch and Luno, because they're still going to get booed at 81 away games at least, because all the same players are going to be on the same field.
Chris, we appreciate the call, but here's the thing. He had to do what he did, and he didn't do it so that they thinking they weren't going to get booed 81 times a year. As we talked about, he did it because it's a business. And the only way that he could try to save any ounce or thread or shred of decency and credibility going forward and the ability to be likable in the future was the fact that he fired both of them to say, we're starting from scratch. We're not going to tolerate anything anymore from the past. We're going to go forward, and we're going to try to turn over a new leaf because we got caught. It's a bad look. He's embarrassed by it. He wants to go forward. If he doesn't do that, believe me, there's more there's just more negativity around the team.
El Jefe just tweeted us, and damn it, I can't unhear it now. Can you back up to some of Chris's call? Because El Jefe tweeted us and goes, bro, is that Garrett Cole that just called in, or is that Chris? Listen.
Playbook for how to handle these things, because I don't think he gains anything.
Dude, that literally sounds like Garrett Cole.
It really does.
Yeah,
it really
does. That's crazy.
He does sound.
Nice try, Chris, if that is your real name, Garrett. Nah, he did sound like Garrett Cole.
He did.
Damn, that's a good call, LFA.
Yeah.
But yeah, Crane was protecting himself. That's all that is. That was a smart, savvy business and financial
move. But you're right. The other thing was he didn't appeal it, which people asked us why, because he saved his own ass, because a lot of people are saying he knew.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he wasn't named in it and he wasn't punished by that from that regard, he just wants to move forward.
Yep.
So, all right, we're going to move forward. That's hour number one. Still 2 hours of the show to go, but boy, oh boy, are we having fun. And lots of people getting involved. We love that, and we love to see the phone boards lighting up, the tweets, the texts. You can be a part of it, too. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.